Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Tuesdays on The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. We discuss, dissect, and delve into crimes of the past. It's time for True Crime Tuesday.
And this week, leading the team out for True Crime Tuesday, the crime editor for The Daily Telegraph, Mark Morrie. Welcome back to The Run Home, Moz.
Yeah, good to be here.
Now, Moz, your podcast has gone awfully quiet. So last time you were on here, we were talking about the war too. Killed or be killed. And we've got a lot of our listeners saying, when is the potty coming back?
Well, in fact, we're starting to record one on Monday.
Okay.
Monday afternoon, so probably the following week after that.
About?
Well, we're going to go into, on the back of Kill or Be Killed, it's about how the cops stopped a lot of these killings.
Yeah.
And it's because they had a very, very good informant who was a major crook who, because he gave up a lot of info for about a year, and he was a crook, and he didn't do it for money or because he was facing a sentence. He did it for revenge because these guys didn't help him. He went to some crime families and said, I want you to knock these guys that actually stuffed up a shooting and got my little girl and hurt her.
Wow.
And they said, mate, you're on your own. And he just, for a year, and as I said, this guy had done some serious time, so he was a respected crook. I don't know where he is now, but after a year, the amount of intelligence he gave cops, they've stopped more murders than, you know, the war number two. Mate, Josh and I, you couldn't leave your phone on. Every 4 to 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we figured there was someone being knocked.
Wow.
In this series, it's about how many they've stopped.
Okay.
So.
And where is our man, Josh, by the way?
Mate, he's driving home. He says he's going to listen, so he could be very careful about anything. Because Josh, he says he's out working. But
yeah, well, tell him he's not done with us because he's very good, Josh, wasn't he?
Can I ask you this, Moz? Was this bloke, the informant, aligned with any gangs?
Not particularly.
No.
But he was so entrenched in the criminal world. As I said, he'd done serious time. So he's come out and he had all these connections, but he knew everybody in that milieu, you know, and he was a respected crook.
Alex on the text line says, and it's a good question, how are there even gangs? We all seem to know who the gangs are. We know who's the head of the gangs. How do they even exist in today's world, Moz?
Well, you know, modern technology, you know, yeah. Through encryptions, and that's how they do it. Or they still, and they meet up. The bikies don't have clubhouses the way they used to, because Raptor have ruined all the fun for them.
Yep.
But they have, they actually have Airbnb places.
Yeah, right.
I know a major hotel, they'd book out luxury suites, like, you know, a couple of them, and they'd have their meetings and stuff there. So it's just this loose connection. They, as it's very much through social media, but encrypted.
Yes.
You know? So, and they're hoping that the cops haven't cracked it.
Yeah, so instead of the clubhouse, they've now got, like, rolling sort of places to go to. Right.
Now, Moz, the tragic events up at Westfield at Bondi was close to our joint. Why all of a sudden now there's more knife attacks, or has it just been reported more? There seems to be like a knife attack every. Are these copycat?
I don't
people or what's going on?
I don't think the knife attacks are any more prevalent. You know, it hasn't been this sudden spurge. When you have six people killed, that's really high profile. But I mean, 2 weeks before that, there was a 17-year-old kid killed in the postcode wars again.
Yeah.
This goes on. I mean, I'm frightened about that. Mm. The postcode wars, I think we did a war on that called Youngbloods. And I think there are, in 4 or 5 years, there are about 12 young men, teenagers, stabbed to death because they came from the wrong postcode. You know, when I was growing up, you'd hear a whisper that some guy had a knife, you know, or a knife was pulled, but now it's very commonplace amongst those teenagers. So I don't think it's just these ones have been very high profile. Yeah. And again, it's like with the gang war. Things are captured, the images. Back in the 80s when people were being shot, we never saw it live on TV or CCTV of a car being set on fire afterwards. I mean, you know, half of what happened at Bondi, some of the images that were being seen, you know, that you could see that weren't made public, but a lot of people saw, that's what gives it those profiles and makes everyone think, gee, it's happening all the time. Well, it's been going on, but, you know, I admit that I think the knife crime amongst, especially amongst young men, is on the rise in a big way.
Because it's easier to get the guns, right? The guns are...
And guns are expensive.
Yeah, right, so they can do this. Yeah. What about this article talking about the Sydney businessman kidnapped by men in balaclavas? Was he an accountant?
Yeah, he's a pretty high-profile accountant.
Was he working for some bad dudes?
He has, you know, his clients, maybe some of them had shady backgrounds, who knows, but he was their accountant. And he's grabbed, as you said, broad daylight. Well, you know, he'd turned up for work about 7:30 in the morning at a business park in Silverwater. Three black balaclavas, one with a gun, bundled him into a vehicle. So where he was for the next 12 hours, we don't know, but he's turned up in a northwest suburb with a broken nose and beaten pretty badly. He's not telling the cops a real lot because he's probably a bit worried.
Petrified, so. Yeah.
Petrified.
Is there suspects in this?
Not at the moment.
No.
Miraculously, there's no CCTV, which you would think in a business park. Wow. There would be. So at this stage, the cops don't have any at the moment. So, and as I said, he's not helping. And you find in a lot of these kidnapping cases, they don't because they're scared. There have been a few incidents where they're getting the wrong people.
Mm.
You know, that's the other thing. They're getting bad intel. Like, although this guy, you know, he's very well known to a lot of people. But we've had people being kidnapped because they thought they had millions of dollars in crypto and they didn't.
Mm.
And then they're
so it's a ransom play. Is that most that's likely?
That's most likely. And you know, but with a guy that's not talking, who knows?
Wow. Okay. Now,
what about all the, you know, the torturing and stuff?
That's slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, there was a couple of crews out there allegedly, and that was brutal. What though? Did you see some of those images of
chopping fingers
off? Mm. Tied one girl to a tree and left her out in the middle of nowhere up near Karua, with bits and pieces of her fingers missing, you know, before she 36 hours, and then she got herself free. That was some of the most brutal, and that's in the war too. That was as well. That was some of the most brutal crime I've seen, or in, you know, decades. You know, apart from murder, but obviously, you know, you hear about the toe cutter gang from way back when.
Yeah,
but you never heard anyone walking around limping.
No,
it was always the threat of cut you. These guys did it.
Wow. This in the Daily Telegraph as well. Moz, a gambler flees Sydney Casino and Australia after dodgy 1K chips detected. The gambler ran from Sydney Star Casino, later fleeing the country after he was busted using $34,000 worth of counterfeit chips. Police say the Chinese man left $10,000 worth of fake chips at the cashier's counter and staff became suspicious when he requested a colour change before sprinting from the premises.
Yeah, now, the footage of this is fantastic. This is a guy, he's a Chinese national. He actually came out here in January for 18 hours. Went straight from the airport, went to the casino, became a member.
Yes.
Then left 18 hours later. They don't even think he went to a motel. My theory is he's gone there and he's pinched a chip that there's somehow
to copy it.
He's come back in March. He's booked in for 3 days. Again, he's booked into a hotel not far from the casino. And within an hour, he's walked to the casino and started playing. And about 11:30 that night, they get suspicious about when he's gone to make the colour change. And then he's gone, you know, Christ, they're onto me.
Yeah.
So he's bolted. Now, they're not known sprinters, right? This guy's put a step on the security guard.
Benji Marshall.
It made it look like Freddie stepping in.
Yeah.
He wasn't moving to the rate of knots, but this security guard, he went, oh, he got past him. Anyway, he left the country and then later...
he's gone.
The cops said he left the casino at 11:31, checked out of his motel at 11:41, right, grabbed his suitcase, and then was on a plane at 8 a.m. the next day. Now, where he went, he was obviously very clever and knew that maybe they'd track him down because he used his correct passport and everything to get
him. So they know who he is.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean...
How many chips did he go through?
34,000 is what they found of dodgy chips.
Oh, throughout
in that
circulating.
So he had 10,000 and then they found there were some other gamblers there who were stopped and questioned by the cops. But they found they were just innocent. They happened to be, he was playing baccarat. And at the table, obviously, it was, you know, chips were moving around. And so some innocent people ended up with some dodgy chips.
Of course.
They got reimbursed.
Pretty smart. by him.
Well, yeah.
How do they know more? So how do the people know if they've got
They have a lot of technology, yeah, and they try and keep it a bit secret. See, yeah. But they detected it. Some casinos use GPS or black light stuff. There's a whole lot, right, holographs. You know,
I wonder if he's doing it. Like 34,000 is not a huge operation. Mate. He must be going to a lot of places.
Or he was ready to do a bit. I reckon.
Ready to do a bit. That was just
that was a test.
Yeah.
And the cops said to me, they said, look, that might have been a test run. You don't fly out here in January for one day.
Yep.
Then come back. He'd booked in for 3 days. And I think he was, the other thing, he might have had higher denomination chips because by becoming a member, he would have been able to get access the more he gambled. Or whatever, if you had to go into a higher rooms where he could
get. Yeah, and being verified, like, because being a member, you'd have to verify yourself. So, therefore, he would think that it's less likely for people to think you'd verify yourself and then go and.
What's the highest chip denomination we have? Do we
must
know?
Be five or tens, is there?
Oh, I don't know.
Is there
know.
A 10K?
There must be. Yeah, and then you've got the high rollers room. They'd be huge up there, they'd be 50. You know.
I've seen a 25K in Vegas. Yeah. But I get a 25K.
Really?
See, at one stage, they were being used literally as currency with drug dealers. Like, they'd frequently pull over a guy and find, you know, 2 kilos of coke and, you know, $20,000 worth of casino chips.
Yeah, right.
But legit chips.
Legit chips.
Yeah.
So, and that was money. That's literally money for the guys. So, I mean, counterfeit's one of those. As I said, I like, you know, the old thing, we used to get a lot of counterfeit money. Going around, you know, especially the $50 $50 notes used to be a favourite. There was a bike here, this is about 10, 11 years ago, and he had made really good. He spent $160,000 on the 3D printer back then, right? I'm talking 10, to make counterfeit money.
How much did he make?
He made a couple of mil is what they'd figured out, and they busted him before he got it. But it was really interesting. He was a rebel associate, and I remember going to the sentencing, and part of, you know, sentencing, the lawyer saying, mate, he's got all these conditions, he's sick, he's not well, mobility's not good, and he's also agoraphobic, you know. And the sentence came down and he got home detention.
Wow.
Now, if you're agoraphobic, hallelujah. What, I couldn't figure that out. How's that punishment? You're scared to go out?
Yeah, that's right.
And he got home detention. They should have made him go to the footy every weekend.
That's right, yes.
With the counterfeits, right? Are they just going to, are they making it, just say they've got $2 million worth of fake, are they then buying bulk drugs with it? Or they just go to the corner
store? They do that.
Corner store and just, and sort of laundering in that way.
There have been guys that have gotten serious because they've used counterfeit to buy their drugs and then the other guys, you know, get the shits with it and then want to, you know, go and they get knocked, you know, literally. But see, with the counterfeit chips at the casino, those people got the money back, right? The thousand. If you end up with a dodgy note, you don't get that back. It's gone.
Yeah.
Like you hand it into the bank, you don't get $50 back. That's it. You've just done your money cold. If you end up with a counterfeit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just bad luck, Chuck. I didn't know that. Did you, Braun?
I didn't know that at all.
Well, otherwise you just keep making them. People go, oh, mate, I've got 100,000 worth of counterfeit. Can you just change that back?
Because I remember the $50 note, the fake ones, when you had to do the scrunch test.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was about 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And people were. They were using him down at the Coogee Palace. And what the guy was because I knew the guy that ran it, and the guy would just, it's a dark night, you know, it's dark in there.
That's busy, busy.
Just get a 50, get a Suburban and Coke and give me back 44.
Yeah.
That's how they were doing it.
They were doing it. They were also doing it at McDonald's, like with these guys going, like, but night
kids
clubs,
serving.
Kids serving.
Yeah. But that's a long,
I haven't heard of a
counterfeit. You're playing a long game.
Yeah, but I have, and it's hard work turning it over like that. But there hasn't been, I haven't heard of a counterfeit note for quite a while. And normally,
which you would think it would be easier now with all AI and all this technology.
Well, they might be working on it.
Might be working on it,
you know.
Okay.
Hey, Moz, just getting back to the Bondi situation, has it come out whether the guy was intoxicated or under the influence? Because there was footage of him on his way in, stumbling, falling, and then helped up by a guy who was later interviewed, and he said he felt as though he was under the influence.
Not at this stage. No. I haven't heard anything along those lines, you know. It seriously just seems like serious mental illness, and that, you know, it's one of, you know, when it happened, you know, as you said, we're all close to it, and you're getting texts and everything.
Yeah.
Your first thought, my thought was terrorism, and it's so wrong.
Mm.
And then, lo and behold, soon after, we have exactly...
And then it was quite... interesting listening to his dad being so forthright, saying yes, because one of the questions was, I seem to target women. And the dad goes, oh, yeah, because he's been trying to get a girlfriend and he's angry about that, going on dates. And
But still, they said he just started deteriorating, you know.
Yeah.
But our big problem here, again, with mental illness, and it was funny, I was talking to somebody who's been in the prison system and said, we used to have Roselle, we used to have, you know, mental health facility everywhere. Like, you know, people would say, you know, they've got to go and they'd get locked up in mental hospitals, you know, we used to have them. A lot of those places have closed down, right? Mm. There's a thing called the Richmond Report years ago, say, to put them out in the community. They're saying the mental health issues now, it's jail is the mental. You know, people just get jailed. Mm. And they're just being sent to prison. They're not getting any sort of help, you know, at all. So that's,
but you know, that's a bit of a cop-out, because you saw, this is my take on it, I got no experience in mental health, but it was calculated, because you saw him go to lunch, then you saw him go into Westfields and go out.
Yeah, he'd been to a few Westfields.
So it was like he planning, it wasn't spontaneous, you know, which is... Anyway, we've got a text here. It says, this guy is good on TikTok, but the young bloke is much, much better. From Josh.
Yeah, from Josh. He's done that to me before.
Is that right?
I got one when he was away.
When's he getting married? Have we heard?
I'm not sure, but he'll be a father in...
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay,
Joshy.
That might change everything.
I did get a text the other week. A girl said, if I buy 20 copies of Hate Mail, one of my most spectacular books that 18 people have read, can you organise a date with Joshy? I hate to... send back and say, no, he's taken.
He's taken. This one here from PA Dragon, he said, to Mark, being a former New South Wales police officer in Southwest Sydney, many moons ago, we used to have drive-by shootings not being investigated, let alone hit in the media. Is that right?
Yeah, but they used to have so many. And the other thing, there's a lot of things we don't hear about now. Like back then... or just before, we used to have police scanners. Like, we used to listen to all the police radio. Oh, we actually had a radio room which had 12 to 13 police scanners manned 24/7 by somebody listening. And you get a phone call at 2 about shit. Now we don't have that because the police have encrypted it. And
is that so the crooks can't listen as well?
Well, yeah. That was the whole reason. But they said it was because of the crooks. But then the crooks they got hold of encrypted ones. And they were selling for 20-odd thousand. I was offered one.
You
couldn't get it on the expense account, but the cops have actually been able to now circumnavigate that. So now what they do, they change the codes all the time because the crooks were finding that they obviously had somebody giving them some very good intel on all the codes for a while, but that seems to have stopped. So we don't hear unless now it's very hard for us. That's why we've got people all over the place sending us in information. And luckily, you know, because we don't hear about it unless the police tell us or, you know, whereas before we used to hear it all the time.
How do you know some's not bogus? How do you know some of it's not like a hoax?
You end up going to places. Well, you ring. You're saying when the crooks tell us something?
To throw you off the scent.
Well, you double check. You have to double check. Like, you know, there's often you get someone saying this guy's a crook or whatever. You then have to check it with your police sources, you know. We go through pretty vigorous before we'll go and put anything in print, because if you get it wrong, you get sued or shot, you know.
I'll tell you what, like, I think about your job and Josh, and it's a heavy job. Like, it's not like am I going to make this report that blah, blah's out for three weeks with a hamstring injury? Like, you're writing some serious stuff.
Yeah, you just hope that these guys have got bigger fish to fry than
worrying about you.
Josh is a lot easier target as well.
Now what's going on with the cocaine washing up on the beach? It's still washing up.
I saw you down there the other morning.
I'm hearing it keeps coming.
That was from 900 kilo importation.
So a ton of it.
A ton of it. They found, what have they found? About 250. But there was another load found just recently up on the northern beaches. It was a couple of kilos. And they weren't from the same batch.
Oh, it's not from Zoe.
No, not from that one.
But was it on the same boat, you think?
No, not at all. Totally different. So,
wow.
But that had, you know, so, and like, look, there's still so much coming up. There was a bust last week up in North Queensland, 500 kilos, three Newcastle people allegedly involved, and they got 500 kilos.
Wow.
And, I mean, it hardly makes the news.
Mm.
No, unless it's a ton, they don't even have a press conference.
I did listen to a report, they're doing the old tennis ball action again. You know,
Silverwater.
Was it Silverwater?
Yeah, Silverwater.
Oh,
yeah.
So put the contraband in there and just get your head racket out and just do a top spin right in.
They said it took him about five shots. It was ordinary shot.
Because that was the go at Long Bay.
Yeah.
They're just sitting out there going, boss, boss.
But they used to say there was a hole in the fence at Long Bay back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they used to just go out, have a few beers down there at Malibu and then go back in.
Oh, did they?
Did I ever tell you when, so Natty Wood was going out with Nettie Smith's daughter.
Yeah, I was going to say. Right,
and we went and played touch footy. So Ned had organised. Now, Ned was like the wardens were going up to him going, oh, Ned, the barbecue's ready.
So he had a very comfortable.
It was very. But what they did was they had all the protected guys playing footy where we were about to go on. And one of the wardens or the coppers goes, hey, Ned, do you think we should scare him? And Ned goes, yeah, give him a bit of a fright. So they opened the gate while the general population went onto the field. You should have seen all the protected, a lot of coppers and
really?
Just bolt across it. And then everyone was pissing themselves. And I'm just looking around going, holy hell, what's he put it? We have to. Well, Natty loved it.
He did.
They're not pretty places, are they, those prisons?
Super interesting.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Scary.
Yeah.
But, oh gosh. I don't.
Well, they used to, part of an old program for young guys who get in strife. You know, take him through Parramatta Jail. Mm. Right? So, but then they found out that then somebody said, oh, mate, that's far too traumatic for these young crooks.
Oh.
You know? But it would have scared the hell out of you.
Oh, yeah.
You go through that and you're thinking, I ain't going to do something. You're going to end up in the clink. You know?
Hey, boys, we're out of time. Hey, Moz, thank you very much. And just repeat, Moz, if people want to get involved, you can catch up on The War 2, Kill or Be Killed. And will that the new potty be under the same name?
Podcast will just be under Crim City.
Crim City.
Starring Mark Murray and Josh Hanrahan.
Do you listen to
Josh.
Do you listen to any other ones?
I don't know. I don't listen to the other one.
No. You gotta get with the times. Hey, it's Tuesday too, $10.
Oh, yeah.
It's back on.
Oh.
$10 hamburgers.
I've still gotta walk my dog past your lawn.
Yeah, I know. Stop letting him shit on them.
No, I'm trying to train him.
Moz, looking forward to the next time. Looking forward to the next time. Really appreciate it. We've got to wrap the show up.